that.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, we can do better than that. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, wow. We have some enthusiasm right here this morning, but it's good to be together. We're glad that you're with us, and welcome to worship, especially anyone who's worshiping with us for the first time. We're glad that you're here, and it's just good to have you as part of our community this morning. If you are visiting with us on your way out this morning, there's a welcome wagon, and we have coffee cups that have a welcoming brochure in that coffee cup, and we just invite you to take one of those with you this morning as a token of our just gratitude for your presence here this morning. It also would be a good reminder that we would love for you to come back, and it also tells you a little bit more about ways that you can find out about what God's doing here at MIPC and ways for you to get involved here if you've felt called to do so. There are lots of ways to get involved at MIPC, and many of them are detailed in your blue bulletin insert, so we'd invite you to take this morning and just kind of pray about some of those opportunities and see if any of them kind of call out to you. And lots of different contact information, but three things that we would like to highlight this morning. The first is the men's breakfast. It's coming up next Saturday morning at 8 a.m. Bill Marsh, who is the head coach of Eastside Catholic football and a faculty member at Eastside Catholic High School, will be our speaker. He is just a great encourager, has a great presence, a great message for men of all life stages and ages. So. And we just hope everyone will come out for it, but we do need to plan for that breakfast accordingly. And so it would help me if you haven't RSVP'd, if you would let me know by tomorrow evening at the very latest if you're coming. We already have 70 guys coming next Saturday morning, so we want to have enough food for everyone. So we hope you'll join us. It'll just be 1 hour, and feel free to invite as many people as you'd like to be with us, because it's going to be a good time. The second is 10,000 Villages, and so many of us are familiar with 10,000 Villages. It's our annual artisan sale that will be in the courtyard. Literally, that courtyard gets transformed into just a very festive space. And you can come and you can shop for yourselves or for others for the gift season. And 10,000 Villages is an organization that I think is in relationship with, I think I noted it in here actually, 120 artisan groups from more than 30 countries in Africa, Asia, and Latin America. And they do fair trade and give a livable wage with different artisans and then sell those goods around the world so that those people can have a sustainable life for themselves. So we hope that you will come and be a part of that. One of the wonders of 10,000 Villages is not only that you get to shop, but that if you want, you could come and volunteer and help us get it set up, and you can actually work the event. So if you want to do that, please contact Judy Ginn, because I know that not only are we looking for volunteers, but people all the time say that, you know, if you can give 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours to be a part of the setup, that's really where community happens, and we'd love to have you be a part of that. Elaine Bolger is leading our Thanksgiving dinner preparation and our serving teams for our with our mission partner, Plymouth Housing. And lots of volunteer opportunities for individuals, groups, and families are available. And so this morning, there's a table right out there in the narthex, and Elaine or somebody from that team will be sitting there, and you can sign up to donate part of a dinner. We're going to be feeding over 130 people a Thanksgiving dinner this year. So again, just a great opportunity to be involved together in that offering. This morning, we have the great privilege of welcoming the Reverend Pamela Drizel Anderson. Oh, Pamela Drizel. Pam Drizel, who is one of our, one of my great old friends and colleagues from seminary. Pam is the founding pastor of Oconee Presbyterian Church in Watkinsville, Georgia. And she took that church from just literally knocking on doors, going around town and saying, you want to come to church? To just a very vibrant and thriving community 10 years later. Pam was our women's retreat speaker this weekend, and Pam is here as our guest preacher this morning. So please make sure after this morning's worship service that you welcome Pam and that you visit with her for a few minutes. And we thank the Oconee Presbyterian Church for supporting her being with us this morning. As we all know, this Tuesday, our country will celebrate Veterans Day in honor of men and women who have faithfully served our country, in some branch of the military. And so I would like to invite, as we begin this time of worship together, I would like to invite any person who has served or is currently serving in any branch of the military to please stand where you're at, please. Please stand. And let's put our hands together and Don't sit down. Stand up. Don't sit down. If you would just take a hand and put a hand on the back of one, or hold the hand of one of these people, I just want to say a prayer of thanksgiving for all of these people as we begin worship. God, thank you for the gift of these men and women. Thank you for the stories that you know that resonate deep within their hearts, that have made them who they are, but who also called them forth to give so selflessly, so much of a sacrifice on behalf of us all, that we would experience the freedoms that have come about because of their service to us as individuals, as communities, and as a nation in this world. And so bless each one of these people this morning. Let them know how grateful we are and give them just an affirmation, a certain, just very tangible touch of your presence in their lives this morning and in the days to come. We love you. Thank you for loving us. And be with us in our worship as we gather together this morning. And the people of God say together,
amen.
Amen. So with thanksgiving in our hearts, let us prepare our hearts for worship with our prelude music and the lighting of the Christ candle by Michaela Quince.
Unless the Lord is in our work and in our rest.
Unless the Lord is in our place.
We forget the source of our being and lose the motivation to live our lives as God intends. God, who has created us and who has led us here to be transformed by the Spirit of Christ. O God of love, we thank you for your gift of life and for all of the relationships you have given to us in this life that nurture us. Help us, we pray, to live in ways that celebrate life and that honor you in how we live. Make us bold to share your love in the power of your Spirit. Bless us now in this time of worship, that we might leave this place changed by the truth of your word. Amen. Please be seated.
Our Psalter reading this morning is Psalm 8, which can be found on page 492 in the Old Testament section in the Bibles in the pews. O Lord, our Sovereign, how majestic is your name on earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark between your foes to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them? Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, and the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. This is the end of the reading. Thank you, Lord, for the truth of these words.
Friends, as we draw near to God in confession, let us prepare to tell the truth so that we may hear the deeper truth of God's love. Let's join together in prayer. God, we know that you desire to bless those who are merciful, but we have often presided as harsh judges over the lives of others. We have been quick to place blame on anything or anyone but ourselves. God, we've held on to our anger as if it were a precious commodity instead of a silent killer. Oh Lord, please show us the path of healing and life, and empower us by your Spirit to walk in your way of peace. And now we lift up to you the silent prayers of our own hearts in confession. Friends, anyone in Christ becomes a new person altogether. The past is finished and gone. Everything has become fresh and new. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Christ, let's share the peace of Christ joyfully with one another, and God will be glorified. The peace of Christ be with you. Turn to your neighbor and share the peace of Christ.
I invite you to continue sharing the peace of Christ and welcoming one another after our service in the courtyard with coffee. So, I wonder initially how many of us get excited when we see this folder, or wait with anticipation for MIPC's annual stewardship campaign. I especially wonder this year when economic loss is all around us. And it's tempting to want to preserve and protect what we have. This fall's sermon series is on trust, based off of one of my favorite scriptures found in Proverbs: "Trust in the Lord always, with all of your heart, and do not rely on your own insight, but in all of your ways acknowledge the Lord, and the Lord will make our paths straight. As part of our call to trust the Lord, God has invited us and asked us to participate in God's work in the world. I know for myself, over the years, stewardship has become a very tangible way God has asked me to trust, but also participate. And the good news in this for me, and I hope for you, is that we serve a good God that asks good things of us. And when we trust in God, we learn more about the good things that God has asked us to give and also receive. And I get the chance to be part of what God is doing in the lives of this community and also in the lives of the world. This year's theme is nurturing our next year. As the associate pastor to students and their families, I get an up-close look at the type of nurture that happens when we invest in God's work, when we honor God's command to give back from what God has given us. I have seen lives changed forever, including my own. Many of you know a bit of my story. I came over 5 years ago to MIPC, not knowing that my life was about to get rocked and my call revealed to full-time ministry. And in the 5 years that I've been connected to MIPC, I've witnessed the transformation of lives. Because of the work, because of the gifts, the support, the ministry, the participation of pastors, interns, parents, grandparents, mentors, friends, teachers, elders, and the list goes on in this very church, who were willing to invest in the work in God's work. But this is not why we give. We give because God has asked us to give, and we believe that God is a good God who asks good things of us. And in God's goodness, we sometimes get the opportunity to see firsthand how our giving is helping to transform and redeem this world through God's work. I was asked to give today's stewardship talk because as one of the pastors who ministers to the next generation, because I am one of them, but you don't need to hear it from me. Just look around you. See lives that have been transformed by God. Stop by the Rock. Come to confirmation class when it begins in January. Come to the gym if you dare on a Tuesday night and see over 70 kids running around crazy and then hearing about God's love for them. Stop by Logos and see kids going from classroom to classroom and then eating dinner together in the gym. And you will see students who are experiencing holy moments and coming to see themselves as children of God because of the work that is able to be done as a result of your giving and would not be possible without it. This is why we are asked to pledge to God's church, to our church, to this community of believers. And so I ask that you will read through the stewardship packet that hopefully you received, or pick up a brochure that can be found in any kiosk throughout the church, and prayerfully consider your pledge for 2009. In whatever ways you find easiest, whether that's pledge card, or email, or the website, or the offering plate. But please, respond no later than Sunday, November 23rd. I have great hope and certainty for what lies ahead, even in the midst of uncertain times. Whatever amount you feel called to pledge, we need to do this work together so that we can nurture the ministries, but more importantly, the relationships that God has entrusted to us. Thank you for your faithful partnership, and know that we thank God every day for each and every one of you. We will now transition into a time of sharing our joys and our concerns. If you are new with us this morning, this is an opportunity that as a community we can lift up our joys and our concerns and be praying together. If you come this morning and you know you have a joy or a concern on your heart that you don't wish to share out loud, you'll find prayer cards in the pews that you can fill out and drop in the offering plates so our staff can be praying for you during our prayer meetings on Tuesdays and throughout the week. Also, if you'll sign and pass those red friendship registers that you'll find in the pews, so you can see who's worshiping in the pew next to you, and also so we know that you're with us this morning. Let's now turn to a time of sharing our joys and concerns, and let's begin with joys. If you have a joy, please raise your hand, and one of our mic runners will come and hand you the mic. Tell us your name and stand, and let us know how we can be praying for you. See a joy right back there.
I have a joy in the Sims family. I'm Maria Sims, and it's Daniel's 13th birthday. He's our oldest son, and my husband's birthday, he's older.
Well, Sims family, we are so excited to celebrate both of your birthdays this Sunday. Let's go over here. Oh, Bill.
I'm Bill Redman. It's a joy for Margaret and me to celebrate our son Rich's birthday today, and he's sitting between us.
Happy birthday, Rich. We're excited to celebrate with you also.
It's a joy for me to see Martha Bacon in our congregation this morning. As you remember, she moved back to the southeast last September to Greenville, South Carolina, my old hometown. And I'm so happy that she's loving it there. And I have been back to the East Coast this fall, and about 3 weekends ago, I spent the weekend with Martha and met her sister back in Greenville, and she showed me around, and I told her it looked like a new place that I had never been before. It had changed so much since I've moved to Seattle. So we just had a great time, and I'm so happy to see her here this morning.
Thank you, Martha. Welcome. We're so happy to have you back with us.
Margaret Jenkins. I'm very happy to have my daughter visiting from Ohio.
And we are too. Welcome. We're glad to have you with us this morning.
I'm Jenny Sewell, and Dale traveled safely back to Pennsylvania where he's visiting his mom. His mom, as you know, the last summer's had kind of uneven health, but is doing okay now. She had to have a little throat procedure done, so anyway, Pam's here preaching, so Dale got to have the weekend off and went with our youngest daughter, Katie. So, anyway.
Thank you, Jenny, and we do celebrate with Dale and Katie that they got to make this journey, and we'll pray for a safe return. Let's go to Paul.
Two joys. One that I forgot to say this morning that is on every Veterans Day, or at least the Sunday before Veterans Day, is that we have the women's choir. Who is singing and leading some worship this morning. So just a great joy of Thanksgiving for your presence this morning. And the second is that on October the 19th, we had a very joyful celebration in the life of our church, and that was Lindsay Harris's ordination. And then she went to celebrate in Hawaii for a week, and then she was on a retreat last weekend. So this is her first Sunday as one of our ordained pastors in worship. And we just want to make sure that, Lindsay, you know how grateful we are for God's gift of you among us.
Thank you, Paul.
I'm Jean Robertson, and I think Paul might have mentioned that we had the women's retreat Friday night through Saturday, and I am so grateful to God for that wonderful time. We had beautiful Reverend Pam leading us in really quite fabulous work. I'll be thinking about it for months. And it was just such a joy. So many women from Madrona, women from this church, and all ages and stages. It was really just an incredible time. So I thank God, and I thank the people who put it together. Thanks.
Thank you, Jean. I echo that prayer. It was an amazing weekend. Let's go up here. Go ahead, Mr.
Hi, I'm Dave Cox, and I've been looking forward to this Sunday for quite a while because I've been wanting to give thanks for another successful election in this country. Not just that it's finally over, but just the fact that we're able to do that. So much of the world would give a great deal to be able to do what we take for granted. And I just also wanted to amplify what we said earlier in praying for our veterans, that they get a lot of the credit for our being able to do it. Thank you.
Absolutely. We do pray and support and are grateful for all of our veterans. Thank you for that reminder.
Yes, I'm Carl Dodrell, and 2 weeks ago today, I had a pit in my stomach, as I requested prayer for our help in going to California and getting a pipe organ down there. The pit was due a whole lot to, I guess, to getting a team of people down there and getting it done, but also because the organ was up extremely high and with one of the wind chests weighing nearly 500 pounds, about 25 feet off the floor. And as I was standing under that, realizing it was on its way down, that if it gave way, that I could never get out of its way, I remembered prayers that you would be offering, and I'm so thankful for that. Anyway, we're here and alive, and we got it here for Roosevelt High School, and the project will be proceeding. But I just want to say thanks, and for my feeling free to share my own concerns with you people as fellows, brothers and sisters in the Lord. Thank you, and thank you for your prayers.
Well, Carl, we're glad that you're here with us and was not smashed by an organ, and so also thankful that that was a successful endeavor.
Edna Berger and Chris had a birthday yesterday, and we're looking forward to the next ones.
Happy birthday, Chris. We're glad that we can be celebrating with you. Over here to Steve.
Hi, I'm Steve Case. I wanted to just celebrate Hallie Dodrell's journey. She has been working for quite a long time and is looking magnificent at this point, having lost quite a bit of weight. And so I'm very proud of her, and I think we all are.
Thank you, Steve and Hallie. We do congratulate and celebrate with you. Any other joys? Let's move now to sharing our concerns. What concerns do you have on your hearts this morning?
I'm Judy King, and I have a concern and request prayers for a tenant in my building, Jung Ho. He owns A-plus Cleaners. They're a young family. They have a little preschool girl, and he's undergoing chemotherapy for leukemia. He can't work, and they've had to hire an extra person to take his place, and the family is really, really suffering. So I just want to ask all your prayers, please, for Young Ho.
Thank you, Judy, and our prayers will be with Young Ho as he goes through chemo and for his family, as I'm sure this brings up a lot of anxiety, that God's peace will be with them. Eliana?
Just a reminder for continued prayers for our own sixth grader, Delaney Clark. And she started chemo last week, and she goes in tomorrow for her next treatment. And I was chatting with her mom this morning. She was here for CE, and it's been not too awful, her side effects, but she has slowed down. She thought she could go back to school and have a full day. She hasn't been able to do that. And so prayers for her just to keep up her energy and her spirits. She went to her school at the middle school and gave a presentation about her Hodgkin's lymphoma, which I think was very empowering for her to have all the other kids understand why she's going to lose her hair and why she's feeling the way she is. But let's keep her and all of her friends in prayer. It's a very big step for her as well as all her friends. Thanks.
Thank you, Eliana. We'll be praying for Delaney and for the whole Clark family and this community as we gather around to support her. Up in the choir.
Sue Alexander. Can you hear me? Okay. This month, our family is expecting a grandchild, and we are very joyful about that. But I wanted to bring up that in our extended family, the cousin of this expected grandchild, a little girl who was only 3 weeks old just passed away because her heart was malformed. And everyone is grieving this loss. And I would just ask prayers for the family and for their feeling the comfort of God and not losing their faith in this awful tragedy.
Thank you, Sue. And our prayers will be with this family. And as they both expect this new joy and also grieve the loss of this little girl, our prayers will be with you and them. Any other concerns? All right, well, at this time, I'd like to invite Eliana up for a litany. Gratitude for every generation, found in your bulletin and up on the screen.
So please join with me in this litany for all the generations. Climbing high, reaching for their dreams, jumping in puddles, laughing out loud, rolling in fresh green grass, dizzy with joy. The exuberance of children and youth, God's pure delight. Singing out loud and dancing wildly, running or crawling, legs all a blur, hugging and sharing, faces glowing. The joy of children and youth, a blessing from God, our blessing from God. We gather here as family, the family of God. We are here, members, friends, and visitors, seeking to guide and be an example for our children and youth in the ways of Jesus. We are here, children, youth, and young adults, with hope and enthusiasm for our future. We are here, parents, aunts, uncles, siblings, grandparents, and senior members of our faith family, from whom the next generation learns lessons of life and faith together. Today, we all gather as children of God to be open to God's message to us, and we pray for courage and a deep sense of trusting God's provisions as we consider our stewardship pledges for the coming year. Let our eyes, our ears, our hearts be open to God's word, which breathes hope and promise for our everyday, ordinary lives, individually and together. And as generations of saints have done through the ages, let us pray together the prayer that Jesus himself taught us to pray to God by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I'd like to invite any children or anyone young at heart to come and join me up here on the steps. You think you're young at heart, huh? You're young. Well, I brought, and I'll share it with everybody, not just the three of you. I brought a good friend of mine. This is Stu. And Stu actually belonged to one of my daughters since they were really little, and he's seen better days. He's been through the wash too many times to count. Hey, come on. And as you can tell, his smile is coming off. I'm not much of a seamstress, so I'm having a hard time getting that smile back on. But Stu has a very important job for me. Stu sits in my office, and he is a reminder. He reminds me that everything that I am and everything that I have is from God. Isn't that a good reminder? And I tell you, I need this reminder. Besides the fact that I am kind of a forgetful person, and it's getting worse, sadly, I think I'm pretty human when I consider things that belong to me and call them mine. For example, I'm very good about talking about my time. This is my time. My busy time. This is my time to watch TV. My time, my time, my time. I also talk about my money and my things. My shoes, my house, my car, a lot of my things. And then sometimes the things that I can do, I consider them my things that I can do. Those are my gifts that God gave me. Whoops, forgot about that. So Stu reminds me that those things don't actually belong to me just to keep to myself. Now, one of the things that we've learned about stewardship, which is kind of a big word, is that everything we have comes from God and ultimately belongs to God.
So as I have Stew Bear as my remembrance and memory of that, all of our kids today are getting these boxes. And they're lovely because they actually, I found actually boxes that have pictures of Stew Bear on it. Do you know how difficult that was? And I think this is a great reminder of how we're supposed to do with our, not just our money, but our time and our gifts. So you get to divide up, this one is for like physical things like your money. So say you have 30 cents, your allowance, or money you find in the car or in the couch, something like that. I still do that a lot. You get to divide it in three ways. So you can put a dime, that's my math, see? A dime into the offering. And that's the money that you'd like to give to somebody else. It's not for you. You give it to something that's happening, that God's working. Maybe it's for Thanksgiving, you want to buy a pumpkin pie to serve at Plymouth Housing, and you save up dimes in here. Another dime could go in here for saving. This is for something you're saving up, something really big, something really, really special. Can you think of something like that? What are you guys thinking? Something really special.
A car.
Well, we know what Pastor Paul's saving up for. My mind frame is college. Yeah, that's a good one to save up for. Help mom and dad out by saving up for college. Spending, and that's a really good one. That's for the things that you just can't possibly wait any second longer to own. Like a candy bar, or like something like a toy that you need right away. But the thing that's really good about this is it really helps you remember that not only are you doing that with your money, you need to do that with your time. You have to make sure that you're offering your time to others, that you're saving some of the time for something really special, and that you're also just having some fun. You guys get one of these to remind you. But let's also remind each other that just like Stew Bear sits in my office and tells me the things that belong to me really aren't all mine. They come from God, and I'm supposed to share them, that we'll be able to remind each other of that as well. Let us pray. Thank you, God, that you have blessed us and given us in abundance. Please don't let us hold on to things so tightly that they slip through our fingers and we're not able to share. Help us to be mindful of all those around us. And all of God's children say, amen. Good job. How about those of you who can go to Worship Center, go in the back and meet Mrs. Kaufman back there for Worship Center. The rest of you can get some worship activities. And don't forget your box.
Let us pray in preparation for the reading and preaching of God's word. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and Pastor Pam preaches your word, may we hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Our New Testament reading is from Romans chapter 8. Verses 12 through 17. So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If in fact, we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. Our Old Testament reading is from Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 31. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God created he them. Male and female he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. I am so happy to be with you all. Paul and Devin just love you all, love this church and this faith community, and so because I love them, I already love you, even before I've been here. I was last, I think, in the pulpit at Paul's ordination here. Is that right? Yeah. So 9 or 10 years ago, and I did have a wonderful time with the women this weekend. On my way home from the retreat, I was with Devin, and Devin don't typically have trouble hearing me. Is that better though? Okay. Okay. So, where was I? It's hard to talk about money. And money, I often tell people, I think in the church, we need to do a better job about talking about money. You know, there's two things that are talked about out there in the world more than almost anything, and that's sex and money. And both of those things we avoid talking about in the church. And I think that's sad, because I think then what happens is that we, I think what can happen then is that on these very two important issues in our lives,
then we don't talk about it in the place where our faith is practiced and where we learn what it means to practice our faith. So then we don't have the insights to make courageous, faithful decisions about these very areas in our life. So yes, we're going to talk about stewardship, and all, as you can see from the response, right, we almost always think stewardship is about only money. And yes, stewardship is about money. And I hope that us acknowledging that anxiety, right, I can't take it all away, because I don't have any idea, right, for as many people as there are in here, there's different kinds of anxieties that swirl around money. So I can't take it all away. But I hope that simply by acknowledging it, it is diffused a little bit. And we become more open. Open to hearing each other, open to talking about it, open to thinking about it. And yes, money is a part of stewardship, but it's not all of stewardship. So we're going to talk about it today. We're going to talk about stewardship, and I hope that you won't tune me out, right? Because I think there's some tendencies. Sometimes people think, well, you know, I've heard this sermon, I hear it every year, and besides, I've already figured out what I'm giving, I've already handed my pledge card. I can, you know, make my grocery list, or this week's menus, or my to-do list for work. I hope you won't tune it out, though, because as I said, it's more than just about what you're going to give to the church this year. Thinking about stewardship is thinking about a way of life. It's much bigger. The other reason you might tune me out is you might say, you know what, you have no idea, Pam, the situation I'm in and what we've lost this year and where we are. And, you know, there's no discretionary money to go around. So I don't want to feel bad and I don't want to feel guilty, so I'm just going to tune it out. Again, stewardship is bigger than that. It's about how you view what you have. It may even be about how you view what you've lost. Or you might be thinking, you know, I'm a young person. I don't have any money on my own. But let me tell you something. Statistically, young people, you spend a lot of money even if it isn't yours. Right? That's why advertisers focus more on you than anybody else. You spend more money than anybody. And we need you to hear, and we need you to listen, because we need you to do a better job than generations before have done. Because the truth of the matter is, we haven't talked very much or settled very much all of these anxieties around money. My guess, and please don't raise your hand, right? My guess is that you've probably heard your parents at one time or another argue about money. My guess is that maybe you yourselves have had an argument with your parents about money. Money is a source of tremendous conflict in families. Adult siblings argue more about money and stuff than anything else. And it breaks parents' hearts often. So money has all this emotion floating around it, and it's a part of stewardship. So when we talk about stewardship, hopefully it'll help us gain a perspective on all of these things. So that's what we're going to talk about, stewardship. And you know, being a steward isn't something that you and I in our economy really get. There's not too many people who play the role of steward. There are some examples, but our economy is a little bit different. Our economy is based on different things. And I was in about sixth grade when I got a little glimpse, not a complete understanding, and this is not, you know, the whole totality of our economic situation in this country, but when I was in sixth grade, I learned something very important about the premise of our economy. I was in sixth grade, and I'd been away for a week at a little trip that our school did every year. It was a big, big deal to go away on this trip, and I was getting ready to come home. I was very close to my mom at that time. I was so excited to see her and tell her everything, and the bus pulled up at the school, and Friday afternoon, and I looked around, and you know, I didn't see my mom's car, and I was so disappointed. And then I got off the bus, and you know, I kept looking, I didn't see her, but I saw my neighbor coming up, and she came up, she said, Pam, and I was so mad. And she said, Pam, listen, I know you're disappointed, you know, your mom's not here, she wanted me to tell you, she knew you'd be disappointed, but your mom and dad are at the beach, and they have bought a house right on the water. And suddenly I didn't care at all that she wasn't there. I was like, are you kidding? We have our own house on the beach? And I was thrilled. See, before that, we'd rented different places, or we had, you know, stayed with friends or whatever, but now we had our own beach house. And so we went to Bethany Beach, and we've been going there ever since. I still go there every summer. But I learned something. Now, this may be stereotyping, this may be, but I'll tell you what I learned. It's not true of everybody who rents. Not all renters act this way, but people who own think only renters act this way, and here's what I mean. I learned as a sixth grader that people who would run the air conditioner and leave their doors open were probably renters. People who would let little children run through the house without the customary hosing off of the sand were probably renters. People who let kids with wet bathing suits sit on the furniture. People who brought things from the kitchen or the bedroom linens out to the beach and left them there overnight were probably renters. Not all renters did that, but those irresponsible renters. Right? This is why a lot of us don't run out to buy really good deals on rental cars. Because we think probably people didn't treat them well, right? Our economy in many ways is based, and I'm not an economist, I don't know every economic theory out there or anything, but right, private ownership makes for responsible citizenship. That's a basis of our economy, one of them. And let's face it, right, we all want to own stuff, right? What do you young people want to own very soon? A car, don't you? Some Paul wants a car, right? And then you get a little older, you want to own a house. Maybe you want to own a beach house or a bigger house. But we want to own things. And there's nothing, I'm not saying there's anything wrong. I'm just saying this, when we're thinking about these concepts that we've grown up with that are so ingrained in us, we strive to own things. Some of us, that's why we get up in the morning. That's why we go to school, because we want to get a degree, because we want to get a job so we can own things. Only something very interesting can happen to those of us who own things. If we're not careful, the possessor can come the possessed. And the very things that we wanted to own to enhance our lives can become burdens. But that's not all that can happen. We can become deceived into thinking that that which we own is that which makes us secure. Right? That I am secure because I have a house. I am secure because I have the right car and the right clothes. And you know, that's one of the reasons that the present crisis that we're in our country is more than financial. Because it's a fact that when we lose the things we own, there are emotional and spiritual consequences, and people feel insecure, and maybe even worse, maybe they feel hopeless. They feel afraid. They feel ashamed. But you see, Genesis tells us that the goal of our lives and the primary identity that we have is not being owners of things. Neither is it being acting like renters and being irresponsible. But Genesis tells us this, that God has given us all things. I mean, I encourage you to go back and read the Genesis passage this week. That God has given to us. The verbs that God does in Genesis are great. God creates, God blesses, God gives, God blesses again, God gives again. That's what God is all about in Genesis, giving and blessing. And unlike other creation narratives that circulated around this time, right, where creation happened because there was some big cosmic battle and some violent act that happened somewhere, creation in the scriptural narrative is just because God willed it to be. Out of God's love, God creates and gives and blesses. And then Psalms tells us in the same thing that that the Genesis passage does, that we are created to take care of that which is created. That you and I are given this honor of taking care of creation. All that we have, all that is seen and unseen. And we are to be the stewards of that. But what is a steward in our economy where everything is either renters or owners? Or perhaps we best understand it with this word, that we are heirs of creation. That we are heirs of this great gift. As the Romans passage tells us, we are heirs with Christ. That not only are we heirs of creation, but we are heirs of salvation. That God has adopted us and made us his children and given us all of this. And I came to a really a new and better understanding of the magnitude of what it means to be an heir recently. When I sat down with a good friend of mine, whose name is Frank, and his mom, we just kind of walked through her having a very severe illness and then dying. And he was the executor of her estate. He was an heir. And Frank so wanted, I can't find the words to express enough Frank's just earnest and fervent desire to do the right thing with that which he had been given by his mother, with that which had been given out of love, with that which had been given to bless. And he called me one day and he said, I need to talk to you. I need to sort some things out. And we met at the coffee shop and he said, Pam, I'm having to make some really big decisions and I need your prayers and maybe advice. And he pulled out a piece of paper. And he's such a thoughtful person, and he had this diagram, and it was three circles. And he said, I'm looking for the place where these three things intersect. The first circle over here was, he said, I know that with this gift I've been given, I've got to be financially responsible. I've got to get the right advice from the right people. But that's not all. I also have to honor my mother. And this is when he got kind of teary-eyed, as did I. I need to honor my mother. The things that she values, the things that were important to her. I want what I do to honor her in every way. But he said, there's another thing, too. I need to think about the legacy that this will leave for my family. Will it be a gift that will draw them together? Will it be a gift that will make a communal blessing to this family for generations to come? Where those three things intersect, that's what I want to do. And I was so moved and so touched by his just, you know, he was in many ways just frightened almost of doing the wrong thing. I said, Frank, you know what? You will honor your mother because you want to so much. Her values have been instilled in you. So keep at this and you'll know the right thing to do. Friends, I kept thinking, you know, that to me is what it means for us to take seriously our call to be stewards. When you think about the totality of you, your life, your experiences, your personality, your gifts, your musical gifts, your athletic abilities, your artistic gifts, your business sense, your sense of humor, the totality of you, all of your resources, the things you have done to generate financial wealth, the things you have done to have a resource base, if you take all of that together and you say, this is a gift, this is a gift from God, how will I use it? Will I use it like a renter? Will I just exploit these things and use them up with no consequence, no thought to the consequences of how I use them? Will I treat them as if I have sole ownership of these things, holding them tight, trying to find your security in them? Or will I see them as a gift from God and treat them as a beloved heir would treat an inheritance, taking what has been given in love and courageously deciding to use it well, to honor God, and to bless God's creation. Amen.
Some of the most meaningful gifts are from the deepest place in the human heart, in that deep place of that we all know to be authentic generosity. May the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, empower us to be faithful and to have that kind of courage. As we consider our stewardship of our lives and of our pledges in this season, and to nurture our next year of life and faith and ministry, I'm together. As we present our gifts this morning, our pledges and our offerings become threads of hope and tell of our renewed commitment to the ways of Jesus in this world. The ushers will come forward to receive this morning's offering.
Patiently for him, and he shall give thee the Holy Spirit, empower us to be faithful and to have courage as we commit these gifts and pledges to your service for the present and for the coming year as we nurture our next year together. And may these gifts become threads of hope and inspire us and others to live in the ways of Jesus in this world. For it's in Christ's name that we pray together. And the people of God said,
Amen.
Amen. Friends, before we sing our closing song together, I would just like to take a moment to thank Pam Drizel just for coming this week and being our women's retreat speaker, for preaching at all of our services. That's always a very long Sunday for the preaching pastor. And, you know, to step in and preach a very faithful message on stewardship, you know, money. Pam, we are going to be doing a series on sex, so we'd like you to come back and do that for us. But indeed, we just thank Pam and the Oconee Presbyterian.
I set myself up for that. Yeah,
yeah. We do thank Pam and the Oconee Presbyterian Church for just lending us Pam for this weekend. Pam, we pray for God's blessing upon your ministry as you go home. And let us join together in singing our sending song, or sending hymn, Go My Children with My Blessing.
Now, friends, may the love of God fill your hearts to overflowing. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ still your every anxious thought. And may the fellowship of the Holy Spirit will you to live as God's beloved heir today and every day. Amen.